Well, happy Christmas. Happy Christmas. And welcome if you are visiting us. If you're visiting us this morning, a big welcome to you. Okay, now, we have a slideshow. Get the first slide up, Tony. That's all right. Thank you. Right, I've called the message God's Heart Revealed. So if you ever ask a question, what is God's heart really like? What's his heart really like? What's God really like? You know, is he aloof? Is he distant? Is he cold? Like my dad used to be behind the newspaper, you know, very sort of... Not at all. God's heart is for people. It says in the Bible, in the old King James Version, it says, his delight is with the children of men and in the habitable parts of the earth. And he wants to come and live with people. That's what I want to say, first of all. He wants to come and live with people. I just want to show you a few pictures, though, before we kick off. So what has that got to do with Christmas? That is the British aircraft carrier, the Queen Elizabeth. And the commander-in-chief is this gentleman, Commodore Jerry Kidd. But did you know, he never eats with his crew. He has a cabin all to himself. He has a private steward who brings him his food. And they quizzed him on BBC documentary. Said, why don't you ever hang around with your crew? He said, well, they might feel awkward in my presence. I want them to relax. So I just keep myself separate. And he doesn't associate with his crew except when he's giving orders. Now, God is not like that. Although God is holy and God is pure, God is not like this gentleman. God is very different. Now, if you know your Bibles, Moses once went up a mountain called Mount Sinai. There it is. And there was the law and the Ten Commandments and all kinds of things. But at the end of it, God said something. He said this. He said, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God wanted to come and live with his people. And this is what the birth of Jesus is all about. Okay? There's a longing in God's heart. I want to just say this to you, that Christ's birth reveals a longing in God's heart to live among the human race. It's not just a baby, a nice little baby in a nice little straw manger, but he wants to come and live with you. That's his heart. And on that mountain of Moses, it's like God said this. It's like, looking back, God looked on the camp of Israel and said, Moses, make me a tent. I'm coming down to live with you. God desires to be in a permanent relationship with us that is as close as marriage. The birth of Christ was a key step towards fulfilling this longing. And the incarnation is a statement of heart of God toward each of you. So when you see these Christmas cards of little baby Jesus, just remember, it's a God's heart is, I want to live with people. That's his heart. I long to live with people. He's not like the Royal Navy commander of that aircraft carrier, okay? I've got 3 points. That's my first one. It's not a long sermon. But it's really important. When God gave Jesus as a step towards his ability to come and live with us, of course, he was putting the lamb into the wolf's lair. The cross always overshadowed, you can see the cross there, the cross always overshadowed the manger. Because although God absolutely wants to live with people, sin was in the way, and God is clean. He can't live with people unless sin is dealt with. And God had a problem, but God came to solve the problem. He doesn't want us to solve the problem. He came to solve it. Now, you've all got one of these things. Mobile phone. My kids almost worship this. But you know, if you break your contract... If you break your contract, I don't know who you're with, Virgin or EE or whoever your company is, Vodafone, if you break your contract and you don't pay, they cut your line off. You can play with it all you like. It's not working. And you see, through sin, man's contract with God is broken. And we've got bodies, you know, we're made in God's image, but we can't have that relationship. Because the contract is broken. And what it requires is it requires somebody from the company, if you mess up with EE, to come and represent them, and then someone from this side has to represent you And there has to be a payment made, and the contract is restored. And I'm whistling. On the side of man and God, there was a separation. Okay? Maybe no, my phone's off. Now, I want to just encourage you with this. You see, Jesus is God. Oh, sorry. Jesus is God the Son. Jesus is, he represents the person from the company, you know, the representative to restore the contract. But Jesus is not only God, Jesus is also man. He's God and man. So he's like both sides of the contract that's broken, and he can join us together again. You know, if you ever get into a dispute with a company, you need a representative from the company, you need someone from the other party, and they come together. Well, Jesus is both. He restores the broken contract. And I want to leave you with this one thought. There's two other points, but the main thought is this. God absolutely has a great longing to live with people. He longs to be with you in your life. He's not some distant, cold. Sin is the problem, but God longs to live with people. And that's, think of the baby in the manger as a statement of God's heart. I want to come down and live with people. Okay. Just a quick finish to that point. This longing will be fulfilled one day. In the end of the Bible, if you know your Bibles, it says at the very end of the Bible, it says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look! God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's God's fulfilled desire. Okay. Second point. What else can we say about this birth of Jesus? Well, I don't know if you realise, Jesus is described in the book of Romans as the firstborn among many sons and daughters. Did you know that? In other words, God wants other people to also have a kind of a birth. He's the firstborn. He's not the only one. He's the firstborn. God is longing for other children to be born of his Spirit. Now, I don't know if you realise this. When the angel came to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to have a baby. And she said, how? I haven't been partying. I haven't been clubbing. I haven't been knowing. How am I going to have a baby? And the angel said, by the Holy Spirit. Did you know, in today's world, this kind of thing still happens. The Holy Spirit will come upon a person. And Christ will be formed in that person. You're not going to have a baby. That's not what I mean. You don't have a physical baby. But in a sense, Mary responded to the angel's message. And when people respond to the gospel, the Holy Spirit causes a birth to happen in them. Now, you don't have a baby. It's not like... But spiritually, Mary is a picture of what happens to people in today's day and age. And if you think I'm making this up, it does say he's the firstborn. And God wants other people born of his Spirit. So when you hear some preacher ranting on, if the Lord starts to talk to you, and it's not just the preacher, if you respond to him like Mary did, respond to the message, the Holy Spirit can form, in a sense, Christ in you. But someone's going to hate that. Someone opposed the birth of Jesus, and he's described in the Bible as a dragon. Did you know when Jesus was born, Herod the king ordered death to all the babies in the towns of Bethlehem, Nazareth, and all these surrounding areas, because really the devil was wanting to stamp out this new birth, this saviour. But I just want to say this. If Jesus is formed in you, the devil will try and oppose it. Now, what will he do? Well, I think I just want to read you a quote that I read, which I thought was quite, just to encourage you. It says, Satan will oppose and discourage the Christian. He will try to make you think your life is of little purpose, no ultimate meaning. He will try to make you live for empty childish games that are not really worthy of the Son of God. We need to overcome his attempts to hinder us from becoming mature. You know, God wants people who are mature. Because I'll tell you this. When Jesus was born, the devil got got worried. You see, when Jesus was born, the devil thought, hang on a minute, there's someone's come now to challenge my power. And if you're a Christian, the devil is worried about you. He's worried that you will grow into maturity. And if you grow into maturity, you can be an absolute threat to him. You know, as a Christian, you can be a warrior in God's kingdom. And I want to encourage you, don't live for the rubbish. Live for Jesus. You're a king, you're a priest, you've got a high calling. But you see, the enemy will try and make you think your life is just, you know, you're just not much cop, really. It says here, the dragon stood before the woman and was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. Okay. My final point. What else is revealed about God's heart? Well, I want to encourage you with this. We didn't read it today, but in the book of Matthew, it talks about the kind of family tree that Jesus was born into. It says there, Jesus was born into a family tree which was far from perfect. I mean, do you know the kind of people that were in his family tree? I'll just go through them a minute, briefly. Now, Jesus came from above, okay, but he was born into a family tree that was pretty messy. You had someone called Jacob there. Jacob, he was a deceiver. You had Judah. Judah slept with people in his own family. You had Rahab, who was a very immoral woman. You had Ruth, who came from Moabites. That was like a foreign country. You had David, who murdered somebody and stole someone else's wife. You had Manasseh. Manasseh was a mass murderer. You know, think Hitler. He was kind of a real killer, Manasseh. And Jesus comes into this family tree to be born. Now, he comes from heaven, so he's clean. But he comes in. And I want to encourage you. It doesn't matter what your past has been like. It doesn't matter what you've done, how rubbish you've been, or great you've been. Jesus can give you a clean, fresh start. I believe there's a redemptive element of this family tree of Jesus. You don't have to be based on your past. This, the final two pictures. That is a picture of sap coming out of a tree. When Jesus was born, he did not take of the sap of the human race. He did not inherit all the rubbish that came down from Adam. He brought something pure. And I don't know if any of you are gardeners here, but if you imagine this tree being like Jesus, well, we can get planted in. We can get planted in to Christ, and we can start to receive the sap of a new life, the Holy Spirit, which is what I talked about earlier. So to finish, a slightly different Christmas message. Number one, God really, really wants to live with you. That's the message of the birth of Christ. Number two, when Christ is formed in you, you are a real threat to the enemy. Don't let the devil try and make you think that you're just a no ultimate meaning, living for this present world. You are a king, you're a priest, you're a warrior. The devil will oppose it. And thirdly, the good news is, he was born into a genealogy that was really bad. And Jesus can come into our lives no matter how messy they've been, and he can give us a fresh start. We don't have to live on the chains of the past. So I really hope you don't live based on your past. You can have a completely fresh start because of Jesus.